Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Some of us this week got to hear Pastor Pennell preaching a message really encouraging us to be soul winners and witnesses for Christ. And he talked about three people who trusted the Lord, two people who got converted, two people who got saved. Three people in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 10. First, in Acts chapter 8, there was the Ethiopian man that got saved. Remember, he was in a chariot, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. But God's Spirit prompted Philip to go down into the desert, and there he ends up seeing this Ethiopian man. And the Spirit prompts him that he needs to witness to this man, that he needs to talk to him, and finds out that he's there reading the Word of God. And anyways, Philip ends up having the opportunity to explain to him what it was that he was reading. And likely it was there in Isaiah chapter 53 where he was reading. And Philip gets to explain to him that, hey, this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He has come and died for man, for man's sins and so on. And so that Ethiopian man gets saved in Acts chapter 8. And then in Acts chapter 9, we have the conversion of a man. Who knows who that man was in Acts chapter 9? Do you know who that was? Who got converted in Acts chapter 9? Paul, Saul, right? Saul, and his name got changed to Paul afterwards. The conversion of Saul. A Jewish man who was a very religious man, and again, a very good man. A very moral man, a man who was so devoted to God and so sincere in his following of God that he thought that anything to do with Jesus Christ had been total opposition to God. And so in his fervency and love for God, he hated these ones that were following Christ. These Christians, if you will. And he had them persecuted and he had them tortured. And he even was there consenting to the death of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen we read about. So Saul was a Jewish man, but Saul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, didn't he? And Saul got converted. And then when we come here to Acts chapter 10, we find the conversion of another man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Gentile man, a Gentile man. Acts chapter, let me turn there with you as well. Acts chapter 10, I want you to look there with me. Acts chapter 10, we read about the conversion of this Gentile man by the name of Cornelius. One of the first things I just want to mention and be encouraged about is the fact that, listen, God loves the world. You know, we see here in Acts chapter 8 an Ethiopian man. We read about a Jewish man. We read about a Gentile man. And we read of each of these men trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And really, in the Word of God, there's Jews or Gentiles. There's Jews or everybody else, really. But here we see a man from Africa. Here we see a Gentile man by the name of Cornelius, a Roman man. And here we see a man that was Jewish, Saul, each of them being converted. Why? Because God loves them. God loves the world. God doesn't, you know, God created mankind, and God has always had Israel as the apple of his eye, and there has been a special place for the Israel in a way that God has used them throughout history to try to proclaim his name and glorify his name and so on. But yet, God loves the world. God is concerned about, God cares about, God loves every person in this world. It doesn't matter where they're from or what their background is or what skin tone they happen to have. God loves each person. God loves the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. It doesn't just say that, well, if this certain group of people believe on him, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The book of Peter says God is not willing that any should perish. So God just doesn't say, okay, salvation is for the Jews, or salvation is for this class of folks, or salvation is for this color of folks. No, salvation is for the world, right? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. We're gonna come to Acts 10 in a moment. And maybe keep your place. I want to show you this. Romans chapter 10. As we think about this, how God loves the world. Romans chapter 10. The Bible is going to tell us there that there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let's see it. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we'll begin looking there in verse number 9, I think. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. You found it with me? Romans 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad this morning that the gospel is available to everyone. The gospel was not just for one race of people, one language of people, one group of people, people from one part of the world. No, the gospel's for the whole world. Isn't that a blessing? The gospel's for everyone. The gospel's for people from Japan like Miss Kyle. Praise the Lord that Miss Kyle got saved a number of years ago. That's a blessing. The gospel's for people in Korea and South Korea and North Korea. Amen. The gospel's for people in China. And the gospel's for people in the Ukraine and Russia and all the stands across Asia. You know, Uzbekistan and all these places. You know. The gospel's for all those countries. All those peoples. The gospel is for every people from Europe. It doesn't matter if they're Italian, doesn't matter if they're Greek, doesn't matter if they're Spanish, doesn't matter if they're German or Latvian, doesn't matter if they're, Polish or Swedish or Finnish or what they are. The gospel's for the whole world. The gospel's for people from Africa. It's for people that claim to be Christian, people that are Muslims. The gospel's for the whole world. God wants to save everybody. The gospel is for people in Central America and South America and North America. It's for every skin color. It's for every skin tone. It's for every people that speak every language. God loves the world, and God wants the gospel to be given to the entire world. He wants the word of God to be put into every language. He wants for everybody to hear, for everybody to know the Messiah, for everybody to know the Savior, for everybody to know Jesus Christ. Go back with me to Acts chapter 10, if you would. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, when we get to verse number 9 to 15 or so, maybe that section of scripture, we see how Paul was a little bit concerned, Peter. Peter, as a Jewish man, they were used to thinking of all the Gentiles and everybody else as kind of a lower group of people. But Peter gets corrected by God. We always need to be very careful about our own preconceived ideas. And Peter, as a Jewish man in that timeline, just they look down on other groups of people, other people groups. He makes a pretty proud statement in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "But Peter said, Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." It's kind of a statement of pride that, I've been this religious Jew and I've never eaten any unclean thing. And so, God, you know that we're better than them. We're better than they are. It's a little bit of a proud statement. But can I tell you something? No one is better than anybody else. Nobody's better than anybody else because of their race or their skin tone or because of their traditions or because of anything. Nobody's better than anybody else because of their financial status in the world, because of their educational status or background or degrees or whatever. There's a whole lot of things that cause pride and prejudice in our world. It doesn't have to be skin tone. You can come from the exact same family and you can have a brother that thinks he's better than another brother. You can have a brother that thinks he's better than a sister. You can have a friend that thinks they're better than their friends. You can have people in school that bully other people because, we're part of the cool crowd, the popular crowd, and that person's just a nerd, or that person's just whatever they are. Pride and prejudice has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with the sinfulness in the heart of man, doesn't it? How anything can happen, right? Colin could look down on Caleb and think, my dumb little brother, right? I'm so much older than him. I'm so much smarter than him. I'm so much, these things happen. Why? Just because we got sinful hearts. We got sinful hearts. But may I say, in the eyes of God, none of us is better than anybody else. We're coming back to Acts 10. Hold your finger there, but let's look at Galatians 3 for a second. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And verse number 24. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Written to the Galatians. And Galatians is another book that's similar to the book of Hebrews. Really tries to help bring the Jewish people especially into an understanding of all the law, all these things were just to help point you to Christ. Point you to the Messiah. The law wasn't to be kept. The law was to be broken so that you'd see your need for the Messiah, for the Savior, so that you'd see your sinfulness and see that you need Jesus. The law was just intended to bring you to Christ. Christ can fulfill the law. Christ can keep the law like you never can. You can't keep the commandments. You can't keep all of the 600, 700, 800, whatever Jewish laws are in the Word of God. You can't keep them all. Christ is the only one that can fulfill the law. And Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. Notice this, verse 25, Galatians 3:25. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He writes them and says, listen, you're no better than your Gentile brethren. They're your brothers and sisters in Christ now. And don't you, because you're a Jew, look down on the Gentiles any longer. Listen, you are all brothers and sisters in Christ now. You are all of the seed of Abraham, verse number 25. You're all part of the same family. You're all children of God now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are part of one family if you put your faith in the Son of God, in the Savior, in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 27 and 28, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. You're all one. You're in one family. You're all children of God. And praise the Lord for that. We get to be in the same family. Nobody's better than anybody else. Nobody has any right to look down on anybody else. Praise God, we're saved by the grace of God. We have the thing in common that we're all sinners. We're all God's creation. We all need the Savior. And when He saves us, praise God, we're all part of one family. No place for pride. No place for prejudice. We're one family once we are born again, once we put our trust in the Lord and Jesus Christ. And may I say that even the saved person, they're not to look down on the unsaved person. Because you know what? If not by the grace of God, you too could have been lost and unsaved. Thank God that somehow the gospel came into your life. You began to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and you chose to believe on Him. You put your faith on Him. And by the grace of God, we are what we are today, right? By the grace of God, we're saved. By the grace of God, I was privileged to be born into the family I was born into, that even as a little boy, I started to hear the gospel and know about Jesus Christ. I could have been born into some tribe somewhere in some place in the world and not have had such a clear giving of the gospel to me all through the early years of my life. And so I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the gospel. I want us to look back at Acts chapter 10 now in verse number 1. And we talked about how, you know, the man from Africa got saved and how the Jewish man Saul got saved. His life totally changed. We see in Acts chapter 10, this Roman man, this Gentile man, Cornelius getting saved. I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning about his salvation. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 8. Let's read it there. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 8. The Bible says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Notice this. Well, it seems like a pretty good man, right? Seems like a religious man. A devout man and one that feared God and with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. They're going to be brought, remembered before God and so on, examined by God. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. Said, what is the Lord? Sorry, verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Verse 7, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He sent them to Joppa. Now look down with me at verse 21. We're going to read a lengthy passage of scripture here, but then the message is going to be very simple, very short. But I want you to read and see the story and see what the Bible says. Go down to verse 21, Acts chapter 10 and verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius. Remember we just read? Cornelius says, you send some men, find this Peter. So Peter comes. He says there, verse 21, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. He let them stay overnight and so on. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, in other words, the day after, right? The tomorrow after, the day after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Peter admits, God has taught me not to think of myself as better than the Gentiles, not to be proud. Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in his bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He sure isn't, right? The African man, the Jewish man, this Gentile Roman man, all get saved. All have their life changed. Why? Because God loves all people. God's no respecter of persons. Says in verse number 35, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation. Every nation. That's why we try to get the gospel to the world. That's why we try to send out missionaries to all nations. Why? Because people need Christ. And God loves the world. Verse 36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. They put him to death. They crucified him. They hated him, but God raised him up, didn't he? Show him openly, verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Remember the disciples, some of them still were getting to spend time with Christ after his resurrection. Verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever believeth in him shall have their sins remitted, shall have their sins washed away. Praise the Lord for that. Praise God that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have our sins washed away and have our sins forgiven. An Ethiopian man, an African man, a Jewish man, a Gentile Roman man, all of them get saved. All of them have their life changed. Why? Because they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, every man needs salvation. One of those tragic things for me to ever think about would be, what if people go from Gospelite Baptist Church to hell? What if people sit in these pews or come to church, and I know nobody's been in church the last 4 months, 5 months, however long it's been now, but what if people before that time, and hopefully when they start coming back, what if people would come and sit in our services and be religious and play a religious game, but not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, not put their faith and trust in Him, and just, you know, have an air of religiosity, if you will, or put on an air of being religious and so on, but never truly, with their heart, trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That would break my heart. That would break my heart. Listen, Cornelius in chapter 10 was a good man. Cornelius was a religious man, but he was not saved. He needed Jesus Christ. I would hate for any one of you to be religious and come to church, even have been baptized, but not be saved. Not have truly put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a heart decision, right? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You've got to, from your heart, believe on Christ. I want to say a few things about Cornelius and show you that even in spite of all this, he needed the Savior. Cornelius was a centurion. He was a centurion. That means that he was not a Jew. He was sent by the Romans to be in charge of a portion of the army. The fact that he was called a centurion simply means that he was over a group of men, probably 100 men. Century, right? We think of the word century, 100, a centurion. He was probably over a group of 100 men, 100 soldiers. He was a centurion, a man of power, a man of influence, a man who'd risen in rank in the army and so on, if you will, a man of position. But here is a man of position who needed the Savior, who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter what position you have, what name you or title you hold in a workforce, what would be on the office of a door in some business or whatever. It doesn't matter what title or position you hold, you still need the Lord Jesus Christ. Cornelius was devout. He was devout. We read that. The word devout means he was sincerely religious. He wasn't just religious playing a game and acting and trying to fool somebody. He was devoted. He was devout. He was sincere in his practicing of religion. Here was a man who was doing all that he knew how to do. All that he knew how to do to be a good person and to be religious. Yet he was not saved. You know, that shows us this. Sincerity is not the same as salvation. You can be sincere in religion. You can be sincere in saying that you love God. You can be sincere in going to church and doing this, doing the sacraments, doing all kinds of things, whatever religion you're a part of. You can be sincere in all of that. But if you don't know the Savior personally, if you've never been born again, you'll be lost without Him. Cornelius was devout. He was sincere. Here was a man who was doing all he could do to do right and so on. But he was not saved. A person can be sincerely on the road to a certain place, but be on the wrong road headed to the wrong place, right? You could be sincere walking that road and thinking, I'm doing all that I can. But if you're on the wrong road, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Listen, the Bible says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Broad is the road that leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. That means from what the Bible says that a whole lot more people are on the road to destruction and hell and the lake of fire. And there's a lot fewer people that are on the road to eternal life. Because many times they've been fooled and deceived by religion. And they're sincere in religion, but they don't know the truth and they've never trusted Christ. And so they're sincere, but they're walking the wrong path. Because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they'll be lost. Cornelius was a centurion, man of power and position. He was devout. He was sincere. He was religious. He was one who feared God, verse 2. Acts 10 and verse 2 tells us he was one who feared God. The word feared means that he respected God. He had reverence for God. But still he was not saved. Why? Because he had not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, a person has got to come to the place of recognizing that we are sinners. God is holy, and that separates us from God. We've got to understand that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. He was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to give His life a ransom for many. And we've got to trust Him. Cornelius was a man who feared God, but he was not saved because he had not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There are some very sincere, devoted people who fear God, would say that they love God, and I believe that they do, but they're lost because they're not trusting in Jesus Christ. They may respect and revere deity, but they've not been saved. Cornelius was a man whose family joined him in his religious fervor. He didn't have a family that was full of a bunch of punks and rebels that didn't want to follow daddy and his following of religion and working of God. No, he had family that loved God too. His family was also, they joined him. The Bible says with all his house. With all his house, they loved God. With all his house, they feared God. With all his house, they were devoted. They went to the wherever they went to worship every week. They said some prayers every day in their home. They did whatever they did that was a part of their religion. The family joined him in doing that. The family was convinced of this, and the family followed Cornelius' leadership religiously. He had a religious family. He had a religious family. I would say, hopefully, that probably his teenage children were not the drug dealers in the public school. They were decent kids. But you know what? Religious family, pretty good family, pretty good neighbors, lost. Because they didn't have Christ. They didn't have Christ. Cornelius was a centurion, a man of position and power. He was devout. He was devoted. He was sincere in his religion. He was one who feared God. His family joined him in that religious fervor. Hey, Cornelius was generous. Cornelius was generous. He was a man, the Bible says, who gave alms. Almsgiving was giving for the poor. It was you know, having mercy, showing mercy, having compassion, seeing that there's poor people in our city, seeing that there's poor people with needs, looking and trying to, almsgiving is meeting the needs of the poor. It's compassion giving. It's mercy giving. And Cornelius was a giver. He was a generous man. He helped the poor. He gave much alms, the Bible says. He didn't just give some alms, he gave much alms, multiple alms. He was a very generous giver, but he was not saved. Listen, it's not giving that gets you to heaven. It's not being sincere that gets you to heaven. It's not being religious that gets you to heaven. It's not having a decent family that gets you to heaven. It's not being a good neighbor that gets you to heaven. You've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Cornelius, what else? He prayed to God always. He prayed to God always. That's pretty good. I'd like to get some Christians to pray to God always. Amen. But here's Cornelius, an unsaved man who was sincere, and he prayed to God always. This means he prayed about everything. In other words, when he had a decision to make, he prayed about it. When he took a trip, he prayed about it. If he had a need, he prayed about it. He prayed about everything. Here was a man who was serious about his religion. He was serious about God. He prayed to God. But he had never heard the story of grace. He'd never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of the fact that he was sincere and he was comparatively a pretty good man and he was religious and he was a giving man, he cared about the poor and so on. He led his family in what he thought was the right way. He prayed to God about everything. But here was a man who still needed salvation. He needed salvation. What else? Well, if we could compare Cornelius, we'd in a way compare him to what many of what the Pharisees were like. Pharisees, the Bible talks about them. Jesus talks about them and says, you know, well, they're hardcore. They're serious about their religion. They're faithful. They're committed. They do all they can to keep all the laws of Judaism and. But if we study the scriptures, we see that Jesus spoke pretty harshly to the Pharisees, right? They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Outwardly, they look all good and they do all these things, but inwardly, they're a hypocrite. Outwardly, they look all clean and nice, but inwardly, it's dirty and unclean. The Pharisees were considered to be hypocrites, proud and arrogant men. Well, if we could contrast Cornelius to the Pharisees, he was like them in many ways, that he was a good and religious and loved God. But the Bible actually tells us about Cornelius that he was a humble man. He was different than the Pharisees in that way. He was humble. He feared God. He respected God. He loved the poor. What did the Pharisees tend to do? They would have looked down on poor people. They many times would have looked down on certain people. Remember the story of how the Pharisee looked down on the publican? And the Bible tells us, you know, which one of these people do you think went away saved? Which one of these people do you think went away? The Pharisee who looked and prayed and said, thank God I'm not like the publican. Or the publican who all he could do was bury his face on the ground. Say, God, I need you. I need your mercy. Cornelius was a humble man, feared God, but he needed to be saved. You could be some humble old 80-year-old person. You could be a humble 45-year-old mother or lady who's done all you could in your life to take care of your kids and be nice to your neighbors. You shared your flowers with your neighbors. You shared your vegetables with your neighbors. You could be a Mother Teresa. Just a saint of a lady. Just a good lady. But not be saved if you've never trusted Jesus Christ. We're almost done, but what else can we say about Cornelius? Well, he was a man who had loyal and faithful workers. In Acts 10 and verse 7, he had loyal and faithful workers. He was the kind of man who inspired loyalty among those who worked for him. Obviously, he probably was a man that he treated those that worked around him good, because they were loyal to him. They were faithful. They were good workers. You know, you could be somebody who just is a good boss, somebody good to work for, but still need to be saved. What else? Verse 25, we can see that he was a man who was courteous and respectful. He was courteous and respectful. Cornelius, his respect and his courtesy are evident in this verse. He knew manners. He was a man who believed in respect for authority. He was a man who manifested courtesy and etiquette. He knew how to treat people. But you know what? He still needed to be saved. He needed to be saved. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter where you're from. You know, what a person's nationality is, what a person's ethnic background is, what language a person speaks, what a person's skin tone is, what a person's educational background is, or what a person's, you know, financial position is. God loves the world and God wants to save everybody. He's no respecter of persons. God wants to save all men. And He will. If you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Acknowledging your sinfulness, admitting your sinfulness, recognizing your need for the Savior. And from your heart, choosing to believe on Him, to trust Him, to call upon Him as your personal Savior. Cornelius was a good man. Saul was a good man. The Ethiopian eunuch, we don't know a whole lot about him. But he was a man of position. But they all needed to be saved. They all needed the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be sincere. You could be religious. You could come to church. You could be devout. You could fear God like Cornelius did. You could love God. So how does that make sense? It makes sense when you start to read the Bible and listen that salvation is not just about believing that there's a God out there. Yes, it has to start with that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to believe to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You've got to believe that God exists and so on. Don't tell me that you just got saved and you don't believe God exists. That doesn't really match up with the Bible, right? You must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But you've got to put your faith in God. You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, if you want to have God's gift of salvation and have eternal life and have your sins forgiven and know for sure that you're going to heaven, you've got to come to Jesus. There's no other way. You can be religious all your life. You can be sincere. You can be walking down a pathway, being nice to everybody else on that pathway. But you could be on the wrong pathway. You could be on the road to destruction in hell. How sad that would be. How sad that would be. Listen, we all need the Savior. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put your faith in Jesus. Believe in Him as the Son of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You've got to admit you're a sinner. You've got to understand that God is holy and just and perfect, and God will punish sin. God will judge sin. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I wish it wasn't true. I wish we could cut it out of the Bible. But it's true and it's real. Hell is a real place. The lake of fire is real. And one day people will spend eternity separated from God, judged for all eternity for their sin, if they don't accept Jesus. All men can be saved, and God wants all men to be saved. But you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus. You've got to see that you're a sinner and see your need for Christ. Because listen, God paid the price for our sins, right? Jesus paid the price for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. He died and took our place. God is so amazing that though He's just, He's also the justifier for those that will believe. He's in His justice and in His holiness, He will punish sin because He's holy and He cannot do anything else. You can't compromise God's holiness. But God is also love. So God in His love made a way for all men everywhere. All people everywhere to be saved. Why? Because everybody matters to God. God loves the world. And God sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross. He died for sinners. The whole focal point of history, the whole focal point of our world has been the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament times, everything in those thousands of years before the coming of Christ, all point toward Christ. Everything in the last 2,000 years or so since then have all pointed back to Christ. Will you believe on Christ? Will you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You better make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're forgiven. Make sure that you're born again. If you don't know what it means to be born again, you better talk to me. You better read the Bible. You better read the book of Romans. You better read the book of Galatians. You better read the Gospels and learn that you can be saved. Your sins can be remitted. Your sins can be washed away through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be saved. Don't be religious and end up in hell. Don't be sincere and a good person and a good neighbor and be devout and fear God and say all your prayers and give your alms and give to all these things, but not be saved. That would be a tragedy. That'd be tragic. Make sure you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you're saved, hey, let's share the gospel with everybody we can. Jesus Christ is coming back. And this is a time to let all the whole world know, let your neighbors know that God loves them and Christ died for them. This church is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. Salvation's for everybody. All are welcome at the cross and all are welcome in this church and all are welcome at the feet of Jesus if you'll come to Him for salvation. God loves us. He wants to save us, but it's a decision you've got to make. That you've got to make. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the chance to talk about these men. The Ethiopian man, the African man, the Jewish man, Saul, the Roman man, the Gentile man, this centurion, Cornelius. Lord, decent men, good men, some of them we know for sure, very religious and sincere and devout and men who feared God. Men who prayed, but all men who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help people to know that just like you saved these men, you can save them also if they will Turn to Christ and believe. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, you've got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to choose to believe that there's a God, there's a creator that made you. You've got to understand from the Bible that God is holy, and so God will punish sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible speaks much and explains to us that there's the second death, there's hell, there's the lake of fire. There's separation from God for all eternity. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said that they would die, and they didn't drop to the ground and die, but their spirit died. They died spiritually. And thus became the necessity for the new birth to be born again. And that's why all men, whether it be religious men or non-religious men, sincere men or men who are callous and cold in heart, all men must be born again. Lord, we know that Jesus said to Nicodemus he had to be born again. We know that Cornelius, good man, had to be born again. Saul, a religious Jew, had to be born again. Lord, we understand from the Scriptures that the way to be born again is only through Christ. It's only the Spirit of God that can quicken us, that can make us alive and bring new life. If you're not saved, you've got to admit your sinfulness, see your need for the Savior, your need to be born again. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, believe He died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says it's the gospel whereby you're saved, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. You've got to believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and rose again to pay the price for your sins, to make a way of salvation for you. God proved His love for us by dying for us. Christ came and died for us. If you don't know that you're saved, please trust Him. Don't delay, please trust Him today. It's a decision of the heart. It's a decision that nobody else can make for you. You've got to make that decision. Young people and old people can make that decision, but you've got to make that decision yourself. It doesn't matter what your pastor believes. It doesn't matter what your parents believe. It doesn't matter what a brother or sister believes. You've got to personally say, I believe on Jesus Christ and I'm trusting Him as my Savior. I believe the gospel. I believe He died for me. I want God to forgive my sins. I want God to save my soul from hell and take me to heaven. You could have been religious, good, kind, giving, praying, all kinds of things, but still be on the wrong road. Make sure that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, please. Don't go to hell from Gospel Light Baptist Church. Don't go to hell being a religious person. Don't go to hell being a good person, because good people can still be lost. Good people can still die without Christ. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. Children, if you have questions, if you're not sure in your heart, you go talk to your parents or talk to Pastor, talk to Mrs. Johnston, talk to somebody that you, talk to one of us, talk to your parents. Please talk to them. Just tell them, I want to make sure that I'm saved. We wouldn't want you to just pretend. We want you to know that you're saved. Adults, we want you to know you're saved. Don't be afraid to humble yourself if you're not sure. And just admit to me that I need to talk to you. I want to make that decision to trust Christ. Please, Lord, work in our lives. We pray that You would help the folks in our church to all know that they're saved. We pray that folks in our community would be saved, that they trust Christ as their Savior, and enter into the wonderful relationship that You want to have with them. Please, Lord, help the people of this community to know that God loves them. God loves all people, and God wants to save all people if we just come to Him and turn to Him and believe on Him. Help us, Lord, please, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.